together. This is the Psychology Report, and good to have you with me again today. The topic today is on the marriage game. The marriage game. Recently, I came upon a book that I have in my library, and I've read on a couple occasions in years past. It was published in the year 2010. It's called The Marriage Game, A Final and Authoritative Handbook. It was written by Dr. Charles House and Dr. Margaret House of Fresno, California, two psychologists that teamed up to write this book as a married couple, to not only share their own experiences, but also to just to know that this is something that is something we all enter into in our adult life. We all enter into that kind of marital relationship, and we all play that marriage game. The question is that they raise is, are you ready to play the marriage game? Should you play the marriage game? Are you ready for it? Are you prepared? Do you have the skills? Do you have the abilities? Do you have the attitudes? Do you have the traits? Do you have the know-how? Do you have the sense of identity with a marriage game? Or should you pass? Maybe forever. Maybe for a period of time. Maybe for an extended period of time. You're not ready to enter the marriage game. Well, here's what they do. They really encourage the marriage game because what the research shows, and they kind of do a little summary of the research on this, is that people who marry obviously live longer and live happier. And they don't experience the catastrophic illnesses that people who are single or who people who are in a very unpleasant marriage experience. So mental illness, physical illness are both less in a married couple as compared to a single person or couples who are not married, if you will. So marriage is an extremely important part of life and gives quality and gives strength and gives health and gives levels of success and achievement that otherwise would probably not be the case or certainly wouldn't be the case to that degree. So we want to look at marriage from the point of view of it being a game. And are you ready to play the game? Can you play by the rules of the game? Can you play by the game that other people play? So we all play the same game, same rules, applies to everybody, and it works, and we all get along, and we enjoy life, if you will. But when you play the marriage game with somebody who doesn't play the game right, doesn't play it well, doesn't play according to the rules, doesn't play according to the rules that you play by, we're in trouble. You're in trouble. You have friendships, and you have a circle of friendships and of married couples, and they all play by different rules. Those relationships are going to be most negative and most defeating and most debilitating, you know, to you personally and on your own marriage. So the issue is it's a marriage game. There are rules to follow. We all follow them. You know, there are procedures to follow. We all follow them. There's an enjoyment. There's a benefit. There's a gain that comes from the playing the marriage game right and successfully and in the proper way. So if you enter into it that way, you'll get the benefit. What are some of the prerequisites? What are some of the rules of the marriage game that you must keep in mind? So if you know somebody who's being married this summer, we're looking at June coming up, June to May, June, July, marriage time. If you know somebody who's going to be married, share this tape with them. And maybe they should listen to it. Maybe they should do this kind of analysis. So let's take a look at these things, okay? Adults only. That's rule number one. Marriage is for adults only. You know, if you're still a teenager in age, the marriage game is not for you. You know, marriage game is for people who are no longer teenagers. You know, the brain develops until it's 25. So if you're 16, 17, 18, 19, you know, and getting married, your brain isn't even developed yet. You know, your ability to make decisions and choices and operate on wisdom and operate on emotional control and impulse control isn't even developed yet. So you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to make a lot of errors. And the chance of that marriage will make it is very, very slim. Because marriage is for adults. And I define adults as when the brain develops at about age 25. Now, obviously, people get married at 22, 23, 24, and there are some people who have a pretty good sense of brain development by that time in their life. But think of marriage game as being for adults and not for adolescents and those still in the teenage years, you see. Now, when you look at it in terms of adults only, you can give yourself 25 points if you're an adult and you're getting married, which means you're not engaged in adolescent kind of behavior. Temper tantrums, pornography, alcohol abuse and excesses, street drugs, those kind of behavior patterns that are engaged in during high school years, in teen years. Now, if you're out of those, you're more into the adult years. If you're still doing those kind of behaviors, you're still into the teenage years, and marriage is not for you. So, number one, marriage is for adults. And it's those that have the ability to behave like adults and accept adult responsibility and accept adult behavior patterns and judgments and wisdom and live a life that is adult-oriented rather than teenage-oriented. Still going out late at night, still going out on the weekends, still going out with high school buddies. Marriage is not for you. Okay, number two, graduation from high school behavior. You have to graduate from high school behavior. Not high school, but high school behavior. You know, if you're still looking at girls, you're still doing a lot of girl watching. You know, if you're still hanging around with kids who are single, still hanging around kids who are not getting married, aren't even thinking about marriage, and in fact are opposed to marriage, live a life that is just individual, self-centered, selfish, then marriage is not for you. You have to graduate from high school behavior to get married. So if you're still living with that wish to have a tattoo, and you take all the money you have to get a tattoo, that's high school behavior. See? If you're still just drinking a six-pack every Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday and sometime during the week, that's high school behavior. That's teen behavior. You haven't graduated from high school behavior. So marriage is not for you. The marriage game is for those that have graduated from high school behavior patterns. Okay, get that straight. Okay, number three. Marriage is not about satisfying your own needs. You know, that's not the way we get married. We don't get married so that your needs are met. If you want to play golf every weekend, or if you want to go out during the middle of the night or during the middle of the week, and if you want to engage in activities like you did when you were in high school, you know, that's not part of marriage. Your partner is not to make you the center of the relationship. The center of the relationship is the two of you, where you give and you take and you do things for each other and you make each other better. And you work towards in strengthening the other person, building self-esteem in the other person, building regard and honor and respect in the other person. We have to have a marriage that is well beyond the teenage years and one that is not self-centered or selfish, but one that makes the partner the focus of attention and the basis of choices and decisions and purchases and things that you do. You focus on the needs of your partner, and you don't go off pouting if you don't get your own way. You don't go off holding your own breath if you don't get your own way. You don't run away from home if you don't get your own way. The marriage game is, how can I make my partner better, stronger, wiser, richer, more successful, happier, healthier? How can I make her or him the better person? That's what the marriage game is all about. Give yourself points if that's what you do. Now, number four, listen to this, self-sacrifice. See, the marriage game involves self-sacrifice. You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to give up some of the things that you like. Be willing to sacrifice your own individual needs and the things that you want for the sake of the strength of the marriage and the integrity of the marriage. Be willing to put the integrity of the marriage above your own needs and your own interests and your own desires and your own wants. You see, You're not a child anymore. You put away childish things. You become an adult. You're an adult now. When you're an adult, you put away childish things. You put away teenage things. You put away single life things. And now you work for the sake of the other. And you sacrifice yourself. You allow yourself to go without so that somebody else can go with. That's the issue. You go without so someone else can go with. And that someone else is your spouse. Okay. Very important that you get involved in that self-sacrifice game, part of the game. Here's number 5. Anger is not the problem. It's fear. You know, a lot of marriages thrive on anger. Conflict. And really, anger is not the issue. Really, anger is not the thing to focus on, or the thing to be afraid of, or the thing to deal with. What needs to be dealt with is the fear that underlies all that anger. You see, anger is the expression of that fear. Anger is the way that we let people know that we're afraid. You see, we're afraid that we're going to be abandoned. We're afraid we're going to be left behind. We're afraid that somebody's going to have an advantage over us, that somebody's going to have a better deal than we have, you see. And we just get that sense of that somebody's just going to take advantage of us. And when we do that, we get mad. We get easily get mad. So we have to deal with the anger problem. What's the fear that underlies the anger? What's in back of that anger? What makes that anger so strong and so powerful and so frequent in a person's life? That loss of abandonment. That fear of being betrayed. You know, that fear of not being recognized as somebody who's special. That fear of being left out and left behind. You see, that's the kind of fear that people have. And when those fears get strong and get activated, if you will, we often express our fear in anger. So anger is just a sign that there's some fear, underlying fear. Go for the fear. Work on the fear. Treat the fear. Get the fear under control. The anger will get under control. Anger management is fear management. Okay? And number 6, kindness. Kindness is the common language of marriage. It's the common attitude, you know, of marriage as well. It's a common way in which we focus on each other. We focus through the acts of kindness. Sometimes those are random acts of kindness. Sometimes they're very specific acts of kindness, very deliberate acts of kindness, very intentional acts of kindness. That's the best, if you will. That's the best. Where we intend to be kind, we deliberately act in a kind way. We are gentle. We're kind. We're thoughtful. We're empathetic. We're compassionate. We're caring. You see? And we act that way. The marriage will thrive and be strong. And that's the marriage game. That's the marriage game. It's based on kind language. It's based on kind attitudes. It's kind of based on kind activities that you engage in each other, kind talk, ways of listening and ways of giving each other consideration. You see? It's sprinkled with words of please, and it's sprinkled with words of thank you. You know, those aren't foreign languages. Those are definite day-to-day practical language statements of thank you and please. Let the kindness, let the gentleness prevail. Let it come out of you. Everybody has a gentleness. Everybody has a softness. But sometimes we don't let it go out because we're afraid or we're angry and we're just fearful. But let the kindness prevail. Be gentle. And just let the manners that you live on a day-to-day basis, and the ethics with which you live, you know, prevail. And then number 7, commitment for life. That's the marriage game. It's a commitment for life. It's a pledge. It's a pledge for life. Now, obviously, every relationship ebbs and flows. It has its ways of being strong at times and being somewhat questionable at times. But, you know, the marriage pledge is an intellectual pledge. It's not an emotional pledge. Emotions fluctuate. Emotions come and go. Emotions just vary according to circumstances and moods and the amount of sleep you've had, or the amount of work that you're doing, or something that's happened between you. The emotions fluctuate greatly, but you make the intellectual decision that you've made a pledge. You're going to keep that pledge. You're going to live by that pledge. You're going to honor that pledge. You're going to advance that pledge. And you're going to make that pledge central in your life. There are people we know as what we call borderline personalities. Very difficult people to live with. Very difficult people to form relationship with. Almost impossible. Because they form all their decisions. They make all their judgments. They make all their decisions on the basis of emotions. How they feel today. Well, today you feel one way and tomorrow you feel a different way. So you make different decisions. You can't live in that manner. You can't live in that context. You see? Borderline personalities that operate on emotion just cannot enter into the marriage game. The marriage game is for those people who have entered into it intellectually. They want that marriage. They desire that marriage. They've thought it through. The marriage is right. The marriage is proper. It's right timing. It's the right person. It's right circumstances. It's the right conditions. You see? There's an analysis done. And you enter into that relationship with a person because it's right and because it makes sense. And because intellectually you've been able to think it through and been able to understand all the ramifications of the relationship and are willing to take the not only the risk, but willing to take the challenge that's before you and the opportunity that's for you as you enter into a relationship with somebody else. See, being in love and communicating with your partner through kindness is an intellectual decision, is intellectual activity. The marriage relationship is for life. We intellectually commit ourselves for life. Emotionally, you can't commit yourself for a day or more, but intellectually, you can commit yourself for life. You're going to do it. You're going to work on it. You're going to intentionally improve it and strengthen it and make sure that marriage is good and strong and proper and it's wise and it functions well for everybody concerned. You see? And then lastly, make sure your marriage is based on faith. Marriage is based on faith. The marriage game brings faith into the formula. It brings church attendance into the formula. It brings prayer into the formula. It brings talk about religious matters into the formula. It brings talk about the Bible or theology into the formula. Reading the Bible into the formula. Reading religious books into the formula. Reading on marriage from a perspective of faith, you bring that into the marriage formula. You see, the marriage formula is intellectual, but it's also a faith-based decision, a faith-based action that you take. It's one that will thrive and foster and be nourished and just be successful when it's based upon a level of faith involvement and faith commitment. So that's The Marriage Game by Dr. Charles and Margaret House, The Marriage Game. And if you're in a marriage, should you be in the marriage? Are you an adult? Are you through your high school behavior? You know, are you operating on an intellectual basis or emotion? And so on, just as I've gone through. You need to question yourself. If you know somebody who's getting married soon, make sure they hear this podcast. And if you know of somebody who's been married recently, this podcast could be very helpful to them if they can analyze and assess where they are today in their own marriage. Now today I'd like to, before I close, just bring to your attention the Pregnancy Care Center of Fresno. Now there's a Pregnancy Care Center almost in every city, major city certainly. Sometimes they're called the Pregnancy Care Center, sometimes they're called the Crisis Pregnancy Center. They're called different names like that. But the Pregnancy Care Center, and you can access it by pregnancycarecenter.com. Look at the services. Look at all the things that they do. All the ways that they can help. Somebody who's in a crisis pregnancy situation, or somebody's in an early pregnancy situation, or an unexpected pregnancy situation. They have ways to be of help, you know, to you. And look at all the options. If you're in an unwanted pregnancy, there are a lot of options that they will discuss with you and look at including adoption and including ways in which you can share the child or allow the child to have a better experience than you can give them yourself. So, Pregnancy Care Center of Fresno, pregnancycarecenter.com. I recommend that you check it out, and there are some good people there, understanding people, empathetic people, caring people. You'll be glad that you went and talked if you're in a situation where that might be a need, you know, in your life. Anyway, nice to have you with me today, and thanks for joining me. Yep, bye for now.